again, welcome back to the shed of Basketball Truth. That is Studio 3. My name's Mal, the Big Dog Crawford, and I'm joined this week, once again, by Matt McIntyre. How are we doing, buddy?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Glad to be back and, ready to talk some hoops.
Yeah, right. Well, we've got a bit on. We've got a little bit of NBA trade-style action. Then we've got a little bit of Opals action, which is always exciting, and a little bit of NBL 1 North. A bit of a breakdown as you get a little bit closer, to playoffs. And, we've been saying it from the start of the season, but every game is even more important now across the NBL 1, but especially up here in the North. So we'll break down the men's and the women's and, have a look at the top fours, the 5 to 10s, and the after that, the maybe the season's over. Although there is a bit of tightness in that 5 and below sort of action on both sides. So we'll see how deep we go into that. But some teams are already locking in their playoff positions, other teams have effectively already been locked out. So
they're looking forward to Mad Monday, as you'd say it, or just the end of year trip, making sure they're going somewhere nice. But hopefully, if your team is they're up the right end of the draw, if you're listening at home, so you got something to be watching in the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, look, fingers crossed. Especially if you're a Caps fan, obviously, because but we'll talk to them too. Don't worry. But first, mate. Look, NBA. Obviously, since we last had you on, Nuggies got it done.
Yeah.
Great, really solid win. Just a bridge too far for Miami in the end. But great to see Jokic get his love and then lose his trophy and just have classic Jokic moments. And also great to see some of these other guys, get a taste of a championship, because this is what 5 years in a row and we've had a different winner each season, which it's nice. I definitely do enjoy it a bit.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to just see that a little bit of a break, and it doesn't have to be a LeBron or a Steph Curry team. It's just, they've dominated over the last 10 years. So, we've got a few different winners in a couple of consecutive years. And, yeah, you're right. It was good to see Jokic get his dues and see Miami, just fall short, but on such a great year. So it was a really good end to the season, which was, actually one of the probably the best NBA season since all the COVID stuff happened. It was just, there was a lot of excitement. The league was pretty tight for most of the runs through the regular season, and then the playoffs, there was some really tight series, especially for your Boston team and my 76ers. They had a tight 7-gamer as well. So, and now we're into silly season. Now we're into the draft and then the trades, and all the funny stuff is happening. And yeah, I like this part of the year because the stress of the postseason's finished, and now it's just seeing what crazy stuff GMs want to do, and they do like to do some crazy stuff.
Ooh, aye. And obviously we've had the draft, and Wemby went one, which was no great surprise, and to actually see him in a Spurs uniform and all the Spurs greats and things to come out, and you obviously wish him the best, and just kind of really hoping we're not in for another Zion situation as his situation doesn't get any better and doesn't look any closer to being on the court, and having more and more off court issues and stuff like that. You just hope him the best, and realistically, love to see some talent come out of this particular number one draft pick. Basically, just want to see the talent actually come to fruition, which would be really nice.
Agreed. You don't want to. You just don't want to see another prospect that is talent. You've seen the talent on display. You know they've got attributes which you can't teach or coach. You know, his height, his length. He's obviously well drilled for a big guy that size. You just want to make sure he stays on the court. That's it. Like, I think at this stage, everyone's like, write the first year off. Don't, like, if he gets rookie of the year, great. If he doesn't, who cares? If he stays healthy, that's a huge win, because he's obviously going to have, you know, a lot to learn in the NBA. He's been playing in a French league, and you know, it's competitive, and he's playing against men, he's going to be playing against bigger men, more competitive men in the biggest league in the world. So I'm excited to see him play, and you know, just fingers crossed you don't see that, you know, roll an ankle or do it, you know, early in the season and then they have to shut him down, because this is a guy that, you know, he's come in with a big, you know, since LeBron, there hasn't been too many guys that they're saying, oh, this guy could be the next GOAT. You know, no one's going to say that, but everyone's thinking if there was going to be a guy, could be him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fingers crossed, like we said, no injuries, just get through the first year, keep developing. Good system to get into too, though. So Pop, Spurs, they're not going to let him down and just flounder out there. So good system for him. And Pop does really well with the Euros as well. So as history shows.
Yeah, what a place for him to land. Could be absolutely amazing. Could be the next best thing. We'll just have to wait and see. That's the problem with, you know, these draft nights. You've got to, you book it in, then you wait 5 years. like, you know, realistically, and then you know exactly what you've got. It really can take that long. As you say, rookie of the year doesn't really mean much. I mean, look at Ben Simmons, he won one.
I was going to say.
How little does that mean, like, you know, after a couple of years in the league, we really then know what you're about and those sorts of things. And it takes a bit. And obviously we'll need to, you know, you got to get through a couple of summer leagues, a couple of regular seasons, come through that healthy, fit, all that kind of stuff. Awesome. You know, but yeah, nowadays, it, especially with these young guys not going off and doing, you know, 3 or even getting close to 4 years of 4 years of uni or NCAA stuff before joining the league, they're one and done guys. You know, wherever they are playing in the world, they're one and done. They're in early, and it takes time for them to develop into the men they're going to be. But let's not get, you know, too far ahead of ourselves there. We've got time to wait, so we'll wait on that, and hopefully he's a baller, and same with, you know, Miller and Henderson and all those other ones that came after him. And, you know, hopefully there's some real finds in this draft. Like there always is. There is always a find in the draft, late, middle, somewhere in there. There'll be some team where just like, oh my God, we did amazingly. There'll be others that are like, well, it's always next year.
That's exactly right. There's the diamonds in the rough, and then there's the bus. And there's going to be at least a couple of each. So you just hope that you're on the right side of the equation. That's all.
Indeed. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of these trades. Let's start with the Suns. Now they've effectively swapped out CP3, sent Shamet off, and they've got themselves a Beal. Do you think that's going to move the needle straight away? Obviously, some other pieces went back and forth as well, but
yeah, swaps is one word you could use. I'd say fleeced, because an aging Chris Paul and Landry Shamet. I mean, your picks and everything they get thrown around. You know, like.
Keys in a bowl, mate.
Right. They really mean, like, you could have 5 in there, you could have 4 in there. Is it going to make a difference? You really don't know till 10 years later, some smart guy sits down and works out what that pick was, because that pick's going to be, you know, thrown around between 6 different teams, traded for different guys. And and eventually you'll know what that pick was and who he was traded for. But you really, at this point, they're really irrelevant. So you get CP3, Shamet, for Bradley Beal, Jordan Goodwin, and Isaiah Todd, I think it was. So I think Phoenix got the best end of that deal, absolutely. Does it shift the needle, like you said? I don't know. The same problem still sits with Phoenix in that they've got Kevin Durant, who's been injury prone the last few years. You've got Devin Booker, needs the ball in his hand. Beal can be a spot-up shooter. Is he happy to be the third string? Because I think he is the third string going into that team at the moment. Mm-hmm. And is he happy to mark the other team's best players, or are they going to, you know, I don't know if he's going to be the best fit, but he's going to have to make the sacrifices to make himself the best fit. So if he's willing to do that, then yeah, absolutely, it will shift the needle. And Phoenix just obviously need to keep building with some pieces around that. But at this stage, I think Phoenix win. They're better off having Beal rather than a I'm not going to say geriatric, but old CP3, who's very injury prone. And really at this, you know, CP3 made his way eventually to Golden State now, but he's looking at coming off the bench, isn't he, surely? And he wasn't going to do that at Phoenix. So Phoenix have a legitimate third star, all-star, and much better three-point shooter. Not as good as playmaking, but does, you know, Beal and Durant and do they need that type of playmaker? Probably not. They could just go with, I guess, you know, another role player that can fill in at that point, pure point guard spot. So yeah, and I think they still have Chris Payne, I'm pretty sure. So yeah, Phoenix win, shifts the needle a little bit, but they still need to build around it a bit more.
Yeah, and I think obviously Chris Paul, the Warriors, I think that suits the end of Chris Paul's career much better than obviously the Warriors. You know, being in a position where he can come off the bench, he's not going to be needed, but he's going to be potentially one hell of a power punch from the bench when he is needed, as long as he doesn't get injury prone again in those playoff runs. And
well, that's the thing. If he's playing that bench role, less chance of getting injured. You know, he can be on minutes restrictions. He can be there. And, you know, if Steph and the only thing is if Steph gets cut injured, or, you know, the guard rotation for Golden State gets injured and CP3 has to play more minutes, well, that's then more of an impact on his body. But if CP3 gets himself right and he can play that bench role and he's happy to, which I think if he's gone there, I think that reads that he's accepting it. So, I think that's, And to be honest, Washington got Jordan Poole, who's a much better fit for them as well. Younger player. He'll get as many shots as he wants. He can develop. He can, you know, he was playing in the shadow of Steph and Clay and being a third string, fourth string option, coming off the bench, sometimes starting. I think that's a better scenario for him to flourish, but he's obviously not going to win as many games, so he's going to find out, you know, what it's like to be on a losing team and to struggle to find some wins. But in essence, for his role, it's a much better, bigger step up for him.
And I do love all of the Twitter BS that's happened since he's left. He's unfollowed the Draymond and all this kind of silly stuff. I love that stuff when a young fella's like, you know what? No, don't have to do this anymore. Get out of here, you know.
Yeah, you punch me in the face, I'm out. I don't have to like you on Instagram anymore. Yeah, I don't mind that either.
Yeah,
I like that he took a photo. I mean, he didn't have to take a photo, but he put it up, but it just to let everyone know. So,
just in case, guys, in case you were wondering, I'm not paid to be this guy's friend anymore, so I'm not going to.
And that's that's the world we live in. That's, I like it.
I think it obviously helps the Warriors short term, long term, obviously. You know, I did love the backpedaling that was done. Was it classic, you know, writing was on the wall as soon as the member of Warriors head office came out and said, no, we're keeping him for another 4 years. Within 72 hours, he was gone.
Dunleavy, isn't it? Mike Dunleavy, the old Knicks player. So, he came out and said that. And, I mean, sometimes surely that's got to be smoke and mirrors just to put a couple of people, you know, keep them off the scent, I guess. But, then the right trade came in and see you later.
Yep. All righty. Well, look, you know, since my Celtics were a part of one, part of a big one, again, Wizards just giving everything away at the moment. Kristaps Porzingis will find himself, as long as he doesn't get injured, in a Celtics jersey, which I like. I don't love what it cost in Marcus Smart and other little bits, but other little bits I can live without. Marcus Smart, he's been that locker room guy. He's one of those guys if he's on your team, you just love him. I honestly think he'll do really well for the Grizzlies. I hope he will, because I've genuinely come to really like him. He's a heck of a defender. Seems to lift the locker room when he's been a part of the Celtics, and because he's been there for so long, people have gotten in line behind him and, followed him. How he's going to step into a Grizzlies situation with everything they've got going on, look, that's going to be interesting, especially with no Ja to start the season. How that starts for them is going to be interesting, but I like the idea of Kristaps Porzingis.
I agree with you. Look, Memphis got themselves a defensive player of the year, so that's a great pickup for them. And they gave up in the three-way trade. They gave up Tyus Jones. That was it, wasn't it? Or maybe some other bits, but so they really, I think Memphis got something that they wanted. They wanted a locker room guy from what all the analysts and everything were saying. That's what you get from Marcus Smart. He's a good locker room guy. He's a defensive guy. They've got a very good offense at Memphis. Ja Morant, Desmond Baines, and some bigs that need to come back. That Steven Adams and the like, who's obviously very good defensive players as well. So good fit, definitely Marcus Smart. So I agree with that. Celtics, I mean, they get back Kristaps Porzingis, who has, he's definitely got the attributes, but have we ever seen it? He had the few years at New York where he was very, very good, but ever since then has struggled to, one, stay healthy, but two, find rhythm in an offense. But in saying that, it just seems like the Celtics may have said, well, We're going full ball towards being the league's best offense. I think they were one of the best 3-point shooting teams last year, and that this probably makes them a little bit better. Losing Marcus Smart, gaining Porzingis, who's a decent enough 3-point shooter, especially when his confidence is high. But it does damage their defense, and they were the best defensive team in the league. So they've made a decision there. I guess the good part about it is they keep Al Horford, unless I'm not sure if he's contract year or whatnot. But if they've got Al Horford and Porzingis there, who can intermittently obviously change in and out, possibly played a little bit together, they've still got the rest of their pieces are all good defensive players. But Porzingis is definitely a huge step back from Marcus Smart. But you're talking about different positions as well. So, if Celtics can just get another solid point guard to come in and help out, who's the backup point guard at the moment for him, Mal?
I've got
a little blank.
Malcolm
Brogdon. He might start?
Yeah, he looks like he's going to be staying. He was initially in talks for him to go. But, he could step in, and obviously you got a few guards then behind.
that
as well. Those younger pieces that have been building up slowly. But, you know, I agree with you. I like the talent of Porzingis. It's a bit Zion-y in a lot of ways. Have we really seen a full solid season of him playing at his absolute bestest? You've really got to think back to that New York stuff,
And Marcus Smart could, if he plays, if he's that same level defensively at Memphis, you could see him pick up an all-star spot, right? But I don't think you'll see Kristaps Porzingis at this point in his career. He's probably never going to pick up. I don't think he's ever been an all-star, but unless I'm wrong, but he's not going to be another one again from now. I can't see him playing at that level. The guys around him are going to well and truly outshine him in terms of Tatum and Brown. So they've obviously got a role for him. I envision that the Celtics management have a role for him, and they're going to carve that out. And that's whether that's just a pick and pop guy, or whether they play him off the bench, or whether they're just going to go big with him and Al Horford. It'll be exciting to wait and see, that's for sure. But realistically, other than that, who did they give up? Well, they lost, like I said, Marcus Smart, but I mean, Danilo Gallinari and Mike Muscala, they were just holding up the seats at the end of the bench. They really didn't give up too much in terms of that.
Unfortunately, Gallinari got injured before he really arrived, which was a shame.
Mm.
But, that's life. So move off those pieces. And, Marcus Smart's the real noticeable loss. It's probably more sentiment than anything else. Could KP move the needle? Yeah, if we get what his talent, what we think his talent actually is. Yeah, if we actually see that on the court, booyah! Really could change things for the Celts. Go that little bit closer. But are we going to see that? Ooh, hard to. Even as diehard as I am, it's hard to go all in on that action. But one last trade. Looks like Atlanta Hawks have finally pulled the pin on poor old John Collins. It feels as if he's been in trade talks ever since he arrived at the end of his first season. He's been in trade talks and he's going off to the Jazz. Looks like Atlanta Hawks are just trying to move on his salary a little bit and things like that, doing behind the scenes stuff, but it will be interesting to see what he'll bring to the Jazz and what he's gonna what it's gonna look like there, and what are Atlanta gonna do? Like, they had that breakout season a couple back, but geez, it's been pretty lean since. So
yeah, it'd be interesting to know what both of these teams are doing in terms of their long-term goals are. Like, are they in rebuilds? Are they just picking up your favourable contracts and then looking to buy a marquee player or get a couple of marquee players? Or are they, were they in the tank and then they just didn't get Wemby? Like, Jazz, they did surprisingly well at the start of last year. Everyone thought they were going to be definitely in the Wemby stakes, but they were actually in the top eight for a long period of the season and then towards the end just sort of petered out. So it's interesting to see what they're going to do this season. Are they thinking they can win some games and maybe sneak into the playoffs with their roster? No teams obviously go out there to lose, but both these teams really are in a bit of purgatory where they're just right sort of not knowing whether they're pushing to win a championship, or are they waiting for something to happen? Are they in a bit of a stalemate?
Well, Atlanta's got Coach Snyder, so they're looking to have really good regular seasons and then die in the ass in the second round of the playoffs and not really get much further than that. So, and then what? Do that for a couple of years and then blow up the team and start again. So,
yeah.
That seems to be. But, best of luck to both of them if you're a fan of either. Well, enjoy the wait, I guess. Yeah.
Both those teams have been waiting a while as well. A long time.
It's gonna, yeah. Not close. Yeah. That's all right. If you know, if you're a fan of them, then you're a patient fella. Or lady, obviously. Yeah, good luck with continuing to wait. Anyway, let's get on to some Asia Cup women's basketball action. And as we record here, the game, Australian Opal's game against Chinese Taipei has tipped. But let's, before we get into that one, obviously let's talk their first one. And look, this one wasn't close. 105-34 over the Philippines. They got this one done incredibly handily. It has to be said, almost triple. But look, real standouts for me are friend of the show, obviously, Lauren Scherfy. Absolutely massive, 17 points, 9 rebounds, and then throw in 5 assists on that. Absolutely fantastic. There was a lot of players, obviously, in this one. They were able to run some subs and really share it around. Darcy Garvin, Tess Madgen, Matty Rocci, and Chloe Bibby, all having really good games. Not to talk anyone else down, of course, but that was some of the standouts in this one. Not close by any measure whatsoever, but really solid and a great way to start the campaign.
Yeah, and they did it though. They did it, like I said, by committee, scoring bingo. Every player got their name on the score sheet, and held Philippines to only 11 points in the second half. So. Yeah. I mean, the effort was there, and you can only play who's in front of you. And you want to really, in a game situation like that, you want to make sure every player's getting touches and they're getting familiar with the offense. And that's obviously what they were able to do because they've got a big game against Chinese Taipei tonight. Mm-hmm. But there is there's some, just for me picking out the names, there's some NBL 1 North flavor to this Opals team.
Yeah.
Shyla Hill, Lauren Scherf, like you said, and Maddie Rocci, they're all NBL 1 North.
Except for Scherfy. She's down south.
Oh, down south, sorry. So, yeah, so nice to see some of the local talent that's been playing up in the NBL 1 North or for the Townsville, sorry, WNBL team as well.
Is a bit, and big news coming out today, actually. Townsville Fire have signed Sammy Whitcomb, which, big piece
from
them.
Perth. Wow.
Yes, come over. Could not have moved further.
Yeah. You liked it when it was hot over in Perth. You're going to like it when it's hot and humid in Townsville.
Well, it's going to be humid.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great pickup because she was definitely a star at the end of that WNBL season. Mm-hmm. She virtually was almost got the Perth Lynx to the finals on her own back. So that's a great pickup.
Yeah, she's obviously been a baller for quite some time at the Opals level, former captain, and balling out in the WNBL space and has been doing a lot of the heavy lifting over there for Perth. And signs with the champions. So obviously there, a few changes in personnel already, like Nicholson is moving down to the Flames and a couple of other pieces. So be interesting to see how they continue to sign and rebuild.
That ball don't lie.
Yeah. Look, obviously in our pool, I think we'll get Chinese Taipei, Japan, maybe. Maybe they could rally some sort of something special. But obviously, realistically, the major threat is in that other group in China. Gave us that incredibly uncomfortable game in the World Cups, you never know. Asia Cups are always slightly different. I'd always end up with slightly different rosters and different things and depending on who can make it and that kind of stuff. It doesn't quite always get the same love from players as the Worlds do, But yeah, it, no matter how you skin it, China's going to be probably one of our more difficult opponents, unless someone just steps up out of nowhere and slaps us.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, like you said, that's a big, big impact is teams and countries not maybe having their WNBL, WNBA stars, like we see sometimes in the men's. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what comes out of it. But we know Australia's got a strong team regardless. So I'd be backing us to take home the gold in this one, that's for sure.
All right, heard it here first. Macca's backing it. Macca's backing it.
Let's do it. I'll back the Aussies and anything, but yeah, I guarantee you, yeah, Opals for sure. They're strong. It's worth a chicken bet.
Oh, see, now I'm tempted. I am genuinely tempted. Not to back against Australia, but you've been betting so horribly lately with these chicken bets that I just feel as if there's a 12 piece to be had. But I refuse to bet against the Opals or the Boomers.
It'd be un-Australian.
Oh, blood oath, mate, blood oath. It's a 12 piece to be had too. But no, I'm going to stick with the Opals. I'm going to stick with the Opals, and we'll just leave it there on that one. I think it's best if we do.
That's good, because I already owe you a chicken bet and owe Ant for losing that Crack'em showdown to him. So, I've got some debts to pay. That's for sure.
Indeed. But you know, hey, that happens. It's all right. I'm sure you'll get there. It's I have faith. So, all right, mate. Opals, best of luck. Obviously, I have nothing but faith in you. And it's only Macca's faith that has me slightly wavering. nothing I've seen on the court yet has me wavering in any way about the Opals. All right. Let's get into some NBL One North. Coles Express, NBL One North. All right, mate, let's start with the champagne. Over on the women's side, look, let's jump through this. Top four, obviously North side. They took their second L. They've lost two games in quick succession, actually. Rocky and Darwin able to take him down. Darwin able to do it without Aaron Bowman. And, of course, no AJ Johnson on the other side either. So that'll lead to a spicy matchup if they do play each other again. They've both got pieces they can plug back in to potentially move the needle once more as they go. But, yeah, look, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Look, you could even possibly stretch it to 5. You could even possibly stretch it to 6, really. I think
you got to the right spot there. I reckon the 6 are pretty sealed. There might be a little bit of jumping between Rockhampton in 6. They could get up to, they could get up to as high as 2nd, really. But Logan looked pretty solid at the 2nd spot. So I think between 6th and 3rd, there could be some jumping around between those teams. But below that, there's teams fighting out for those last 2 spots. So.
And as we sit here, we've got Northside Wizards in 1, 13 and 12. Then you've got Logan and Darwin both tied on 11 and 4. Southern District Spartans and Southwest Metro Pirates both tied 11 and 5. Just below that, you've got Rocky at 10 and 5. Then underneath that, you've got the Seahawks at 8 and 6. And then you've got tied on 9 and 7 is Townsville Flames and Cairns Dolphins, representing for proper up north. And then after that, you've got 8 and 7 Gold Coast and 8 and 8 Brisbane Capitals. And then after that, well, it's Cancun for summer.
It is. Yeah,
you've got Rip City, Ipswich, Sunshine Coast, Mackay, and then of course Red City, who are still winless on the season. But there's just too much of a dip. 4 and 11, Rip City just can't see that getting done. That's a bridge too far. But you've got what, Cairns?
Not even Dolphins. Mathematically can Rip get there, because they're four games to play and they're five games outside of the eight. It's Caps still a chance. They got three to go. They could get up to into the eighth and seventh spots if they can finish off strong this season. Same with Gold Coast. And then Cairns and Townsville, they're basically on the same wins. North Gold Coast, they're two games back from the rest of the field. They've only played the 14 games so far, so they've got five to go. So if they can string some wins together, they'll sneak in quite easily, or stay in, the eight. But, yeah, it's just a bit of an interesting, because some teams will finish these next few weeks, or these last couple of weeks off with some doubleheaders. That's where they'll make up those extra games. They might be lagging behind the rest of the league.
Yeah. And, of course, classic thoughts go out to former Capital in Grace George. Obviously, I had that horrendous knee injury, which then led to the postponement of the Gold Coast Switch Force game on Sunday on Sunday. Tough stuff. But sure, she'll bounce back. And always uncomfortable to see that kind of stuff. And it's a shame that sort of stuff is part of the game, but injuries happen in sport, and tough one. But hearing good things, and from all reports, in as good of spirits as can be, and that kind of stuff. So always tough when we see those sort of things happen, and nothing but the best wishes, of course, there. But realistically, it looks like those 7 and 8 spots are up for grabs. Four teams, two spots. Who are you feeling? Give me one team you think is going to make it through, Mac.
I think that Townsville will definitely be there. They're currently in eighth. They'll probably, just depending how North Gold Coast go, but I think Townsville will be there. And it's just whether North Gold Coast, if they go on a bit of a losing streak, who would get in there? Maybe Gold Coast Rollers. They've had quite a stronger finish to the end of this year. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to lean towards it's actually not going to change. I'm going to go North Gold Coast. They'll be there, and so will Townsville. Closing out the eighth. I feel like with games in hand for North Gold Coast, they only really need to pick up two out of the five and they'll be on to 10 wins. And that's going to be really, apart from Cairns outside of the eight, is the only one that can really get close to them there then. So I'm going to go, North Gold Coast and Townsville will close it out, maybe in different spots, maybe North Gold Coast eighth, Townsville seventh. But I'm gonna stick with where it is at the moment. I think it'll finish pretty much as is.
I'm liking the run Gold Coast Rollers are putting together. But I definitely have a strong feeling around the Townsville Flames. I think they'll be in one of those spots. They've had a very slow start to the season, obviously. They've then really put some things together and been fighting to really get back to where they want to be. Obviously, they're a different team to what they were last year, being champions, and not having Alana Smith will do that to you. But they've been fighting their way back, and I like what I'm seeing from them. I think that'll be the piece that makes the eight. And either Gold Coast team I could see I could see in the other spot. I just not feeling Cairns. I just look at them and I don't feel it. But at the same time, they could be one of those teams that gets in there and be an uncomfortable matchup for somebody. So
Townsville's got four wins on the trot as well. So they're on they're on the up, definitely, like you're saying, playing really well of late. So yeah, it's like I said, it's hard to pick.
Definitely is. All right, let's pop over to the men's side before we get into some local card shop of Woolloongabba Crack'em. A lovely pack here today as well. All right, on the men's. Look, I think the top three is realistically set over on the men's side of the draw. You got your Gold Coast Rollers, you've got your Logan Thunder, and you got your Ipswich Force.
Agreed. You know, they all very good.
Yep.
And Gold Coast and Ipswich had a overtime, didn't they, on Sunday? So they're two very, very strong teams, and Logan Thunder are very strong as well. I don't see the top three going anywhere.
No, and I feel as if we're a little bit the men's draw is tricky. The men's draw definitely is tricky because you've got those teams on 9 wins are then fourth and fifth place in Southwest Metro Pirates and the Cairns Marlins. Then you've got Mackay, Darwin, Sunshine Coast Phoenix, Southern District Spartans, all on 8 wins, 4 teams. All in 8 wins. Then you've got teams on 7 wins. There's 4 of them. Seahawks again, Rip City, Northside Wizards, Brisbane Capitals, all on 7. And, of course, Townsville, Rocky, Red City, they're Cancooning. Their seasons are obviously mathematically, you know, very much done. Even as it is, 10 till 13, they're going to have to win out and others are going to have to lose. They're going to have to rely on results. It's just too tight at the moment. But Southwest Metro Pirates have done a really good job this season of just blowing teams out of the water with their offense. So they've done quite well. Cairns, they've done well as well. Mackay came out of the gates early. They've had some struggles. They've definitely had some struggles. Darwin's a little bit interesting on how well their offense is going to play. Are they going to shoot from 50 to 60% from everywhere? If they are, you're not going to beat them. You're just not. But when they can also have horrendously bad shooting nights. Where they're very beatable. And as we saw with Cairns in the start of the season, they can have quarters where they completely disappear. And Sunshine Coast Phoenix, they're a team we've seen. They can very much play well and they're going to grit and grind. They've got a nice unit they've built slowly over years. I like what they've seemingly done on a little bit of a less, you know, a little bit of a lesser budget, can be said. Other teams have spent a lot more than them, but they seem to have cracked that team culture and camaraderie there. Then you've got your Southern District Spartans who can come out and have nights. North Gold Coast, same deal. Rip City. Look, they're a very talented squad. It's safe to say, Macca, after seeing them on the weekend, they might have some internal issues.
Yeah. I think there was just some frustration that was creeping into their game that we saw, you know, evidence calling the game. They were up for large stretches of it. And then in that fourth quarter, they just – went into a bit of a lull, and you could see a bit of the frustration coming through for two particular players that were just disagreeing with, I guess, some of the efforts that maybe have been put in. And you know, it's always hard to gauge exactly what's going on when you're calling it, but it was definitely frosty. I think there's, you're right, an ultra talented roster that Rip City's got. They got Kenyon, they got Quiet Noi, and you know, he's last year's MVP, and he was just unstoppable. But the there's just a lot of, not a lot of flow to their offense, could be said. And I think they've probably had that happen the whole season. So it'll be, they've got the four games left. So they're a sneaky chance of getting in, but they're going to have to correct it and correct it real quick, smart, if they're going to make sneak into the finals. But they're a team, if they got into the eighth spot, ooh, I would not be wanting to have them first up, especially if they're starting to click. Because I feel like they could, if they got it going and turn and got a bit of flow to their offense particularly, they would just be a completely different beast.
Yes. Yes. That is the problem when you've got such high talent. You know, it really can be turned on. And it can be turned on quickly and be a real problem. But yeah, it looked like they had some issues. And they've looked like that in multiple games throughout the season. And yet when you look at their roster and even when you look at their warmups, you know, individual talents, huge. For whatever reason, it's just not showing on the court anywhere near the level it did last season. So,
yeah.
And then
if you look just below them on the ladder, then you've got Northside Wizards, who started the season incredibly hot and then have just sort of back end of the season just not been able to put the wins together. And, you know, they find themselves in 12th position but spent a lot of the start of the year up to that pointy end. It's just how the season goes, unfortunately. Sometimes you can be, you're only at the top when you're at the top, and then it's a quick slide down to the down the other end sometimes.
It is. And obviously, Caps have a uncomfortable ride home. But at one stage, they were right at the very bottom. They've come up certainly a ways. They're playing a lot better basketball. Can they make it? Look, they've basically, it's simple. They've got to win out. That's tough with who they've got left, obviously. They've got a weekend off, and then they've got Spartans, who they've lost to, and then they've got Ipswich at home for the final game, and then Wizards to finish up. So,
look, tough run.
Yeah, tough run. They're going to need some stuff to go their way. They're going to have to win out or get incredibly lucky. It's at that point now, but they've got everybody back healthy. Things are looking good, but it all might have come together a little bit too late.
That is hitting the nail on the head. Their guard rotation was decimated at the start of the season. And I can honestly say after watching every team at least play a few times during this season, both Brisbane Capitals, men's and women's, have the deepest squads in the league, but have just been crueled by injuries, mainly and particularly to their guards for both the men's and the women's. And it just goes to show you, like, each night when we're calling the games, Mal, we're always highlighting, you know, this is their star point guard. Like, every team has a star point guard. And when you lose two of your star point guard options, you know, just – and the team, I felt, came together really well, but it's just so hard to get over the hump. Like, they're in every game, but to get over the hump and, you know, close out those victories that really, essentially, they only needed two or three of those losses, which were 2 to 5 points, swing those into a win, and you're up into seventh, eighth, even sixth position, or even fifth position, actually. So, you know, it's just hard. And you look at the teams that when they got healthy that they've beaten South, the men's team this year, beat Southwest Metro. They're sitting in fourth. They pushed Mackay all the way. They pushed Cairns all the way. They beat Sunshine Coast, who are in eighth. They beat them twice. So, you know, it is what it is. Unfortunately, sometimes you just don't have the luck on your side.
Mm. And, you know, that's what it is. That's what it is. You know, there's a lot of luck to this game. You know, you can prepare for everything, but when your best players are in certain positions get hobbled by injuries, not much you can do. And that's life. Yeah, it's tough, but it's unfortunately also part of the game, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that's sport. So anyway, all right, that pretty much wraps us up here for NBL One North action. It's time to get into cheeky little bit of local card shop of Woolloongabba Kraken, mate. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, buddy. I've got a 4-pack. Nothing too strenuous here today. You know, it's been a minute. I don't want you to get an injury. So a little bit of a cheeky warm-up here. We'll get crack this open. Just a cheeky 4-pack. So we've got some Panini Prisms from the 2022-2023 season. So here we go. Ooh, all right. First card. Now, for those playing at home who aren't across what we do here, I'm going to read the back of the card. Obviously, I'm going to ignore whenever I'm not going to say the name. Hopefully, there's enough clues in there for Macca to get it. Sometimes these cards give lots of really relevant, you know, clues to the person who's trying to give it a go. Other times, they are brutally bereft of information that's actually helpful. And in those situations, I'll try and throw some clues and things like that Macca's way. All right, let's get after it. First card, arriving in the Big Easy in 2021-2022 season. Somebody settled in behind the arc, let it fly, and led the team in three-pointers. His 192 makes from long distance were the third most in franchise history, trailing the 231 by Peja Stojkovic in 07-08 and the 213 by Ryan Anderson in 2012-2013. For the Pelicans, technically no longer plays for the Pelicans, though.
Oh.
Yes, sir. I believe he's now in San Antonio, if I'm correct.
Devontae Graham, yeah?
Devontae Graham is correct. Well done.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. For the Warriors, well, I'll tell you straight up, no longer at the Warriors.
Yeah, right.
The Warriors won it all last season, and with the return of somebody to the court in 2022-23, the team could be even better than before. The big man provides a monster presence in the paint, able to power his way for easy buckets while also denying opponents open looks on the other end. He has since been moved along.
I'm just going to I'll go with Weissman.
Correct. James Weissman. Yep. Has been moved on. All right. Ooh, next. Ooh, it's a nice insert, this one. Nice and shiny. Got that cracked ice sort of look to it. Very nice. Ooh, not that it helps you, but I actually have a patched auto card for this guy. So, fancy card. Doesn't have a huge amount of value, though, so shows you how important this guy is. So.
Yeah, right. Deep on the bench.
Oh, yes. Yeah. OKC Thunder, number 23. Hitting the weights and devouring protein, somebody packed on muscle ahead of his second season in the league in 2022-2023 season. Focused on his physique as well as his form, the guard was primed to build on a rookie campaign that saw him rank second on the Thunder in three-point makes, which was 98. 98.
That's it?
That's it. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, man. Okay. So he's a 2021 rookie because his second season was 2022.
Uh-huh.
So that takes out a few.
It does, yep.
That don't have to worry about Williams, Holmgren.
I can give you a cryptic clue if you like.
I think I've got one. I think I'm willing to have a stab at it because there's only other guard around that.
Hang on. Let me give him a cryptic clue because it's pretty good. Think French fella. It's not actually French, but go on.
Trey Mann.
Trey Mann.
Yeah, that's who I was. You know that I had to think about that clue, and I was like, no, that's I'm thinking of the right guy. Trey Mann. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I told you it was cryptic. I told you it was cryptic.
Yeah.
All right. Ooh.
I'd actually had to think. Good clue though. Good clue. Yeah. Trey Mann.
Look, it's no religious wood. Chris. Yeah. Religious timber. Sorry. We'll get there. All right. Ooh, another warrior. We've spoken about this particular player on the show. Somebody was a revelation in the 2021-2022 season, going from a bench piece who spent time in the NBA G League to a legitimate star for Golden State. The guard finished fourth on the most improved player ballot for the regular season, then helped guide his team to a championship.
Jordan Poole.
Then got punched in the face. Yes, Jordan Poole. I get so two Warriors cards, both of which are no longer with the Warriors. But you know, that's life, mate. That's life. Not everyone's Steph Curry, not going anywhere.
You know, it's true.
The Warriors.
Even when the GM says you're not going anywhere.
Yikes. But that's all just part of the game, though, isn't it? It's just part of the business. All good. Mate, got through it.
Yeah. Right. Sweet.
Yeah. Only a little bit of silence there for a little bit. So
a few weeks off and I've taken a few steps back, but that's all right. I'll keep working.
No.
It's the off season. We've got bits to work on. It's all right.
Oh mate, all you need is like a South Park-ish style Team America montage? World Police montage and you'll be back at it. Like that's all you need. That's all true. All you need.
I'm one montage away from being the chair. Don't you worry.
Maybe two. Yeah. The Crack'em King. They call him that for a reason, mate. Come on. I think you need three for that, but you know, that's all right. That's all right.
We got time on my side. We'll be right.
All good. Well, thanks again for joining us, mate. Really appreciate it.
Well, good. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Indeed it is. All right, guys, if you are out there listening, please do jump on those socials and give us those likes. If you're listening to us on a streaming service that allows those 5-star reviews, please go ahead and do that. That stuff really does help a lot. That's it. That's going to wrap us up. So until you're hearing from us again, just remember that ball don't lie.
It never does.